It's a problem every year. So we had it this year, and I was setting up these two sessions as in parallel, and I was asking to have them one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and they just couldn't do it. There's just so much going on in parallel.
Really a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame. So we have it as in our report, it goes back to them, but I think it will be the same thing next year again. I mean, I now I would know how to do it. I actually would have done just one and do a sequence. If you stay within the community and do part one and part two, it will go in a sequence. But this is a section, and there's a community which is very similar. And that's why they're in parallel. Okay, when you come up, for some of you guys I know where you're from, but I would suggest to also introduce yourself and say where you're from. But I do know David Camarano from James Hutton Institute in Scotland. And just wait. I think we should wait on time. So maybe you want to come up, David, but wait for a couple of minutes before you start.
What time is it?
Three? Another minute.
Another minute, it's okay. I also got my stopwatch, so I can try to.
This is at the new, yes, a new institute. They merged the Scottish Crop Research Institute and the Magyar Land Use Institute. So they merged the two. And the name is, he's the father of the modern geology, and he was a Scottish guy, a Scottish researcher, Hutton. And so because they call that, their visions are connecting land and people, so they wanted to have a name that kind of brings together, and that was the reason. But it's a bit weird to have a name of a famous geologist in an institute that is oriented between agriculture and land use study. Maybe land use makes more sense, but you know. Okay.
Okay, maybe we should start.
Thank you. All right, good morning. Yes, I introduced myself already, Davide Camarano from the James Hutton Institute. So today the talk is going to be divided in several sections. I will have a general introduction, which is brief and generic, just to set up a bit the rationale of the study, objective, non-exhaustive methodology, some results, and then conclusions. So basically, a key area of uncertainty in the studies of modeling climate change impact in agriculture is the utility of the data representing future climate projections or weather projections. It's been known in literature that the projection from climate runs, they provide biased and uncertain representation of observed data, and there could be error associated with those data for future projections. Overall, that's more of a generic information, is that the input of projected climate into crop model would be achieved either by fine scaling the data from raw GCM or dynamically downscaling using regional climate model or RCM, and you will see this RCM throughout the talk, so I won't call it any more regional climate model. And the projection usually are converted through either weather generators with climate anomalies to observe time series or through best corrected methods. However, as many studies found actually, that when those different data used into crop model, because there would be error associated, for example, in terms of rainfall, you know, some constant small rainfall every day, so a crop model, when used this data, would have error, even but when used INTCAS, so historical data. That's something we found in the Southeast US, where some of the GCMs were having every day few millimeters of rainfall, and when you simulate a rain-fed crop, it wasn't getting any stress, so there could be error associated with that. Because of the existence of such error, in general, the modeled weather data are evaluated against observation prior to use, and that's what is called INTCAST, and then there is the potential for the statistical downscaling or bias correction method. So in this study, what we did was to evaluate the RCM INTCAST against the observed weather data when applying a bias correction method to the INTCAST, and then reevaluate those data to investigate how these differences manifest themselves in as simulation in three crop models, and to investigate and also to say, okay, this is our INTCAST data, either from RCM or bias-corrected data. What if these two, we use them as projections? It's not an impact study, because then there would be more consideration and methodology to do behind that, but that was just something we wanted to look at. The methodology is not exhaustive. There is a manuscript that has been recently submitted, but in general we used 12 weather meteorological stations having daily weather data from 1960 to 1990 provided by the Meteorological Office of the UK, and you can see the 12 stations are the black dots on this map. The Kramer model from the Met Office, the original INTCAST, the downscaled method uses the method of Rivington et al., and then the future projection of this climate model, and the future projection with the bias-corrected method. Three crop models were used for this study, the DSAT, the APSI model, and the crop cyst model. On spring barley, which was sown the 15th of March every year, it was calibrated using barley variety trials with nice information. We ran it then with non-hydrogen stress and reinitialized every year. And we used the same soil across the 12 locations because we didn't want to have any compounding effect by different soil. But the soil comes from a nice soil database hold in our institute. With this is an example of how a soil comes. There are more parameters, but for modeling purposes, this is what I used for my soil, typical sandy loam soil in the UK. So this result, okay. For the result, I chose one location just to show you the main gist. We found this more or less across the whole 12 locations. So let me walk through this graph to you. The first three figures represent the probability of exceedance for different rain events. So you can see from 0 to 10 millimeters, 10 to 20, and 20 to 100 millimeters. For the INTCAST data, which is the black dots, the observed data, the empty triangles, and downscale data with best correct method, which is the gray squares. And so we can see that, for example, at the lower rain events, the downscaled and observed data pretty much match the pattern, whereas the INTCAST data had a bit more overestimation of low rain event. Between 10 to 20 millimeters, there is generally an overestimation of rainfall from the downscale, but highly underestimation of the INTCAST. And at the higher level, the difference is less marked. And that's sort of showed as well into the proportional difference between the estimated and observed data and the absolute differences. In terms of maximum and minimum temperature, this figure here shows the observed and INTCAST. INTCAST observed is the full line and INTCAST is the dotted line, or the observed versus the downscaled INTCAST. So for maximum and minimum temperature, and we can see that mostly for the INTCAST is the winter times in which there was a bit of underestimation of temperature. But in terms of solar radiation, we can see that the original INTCAST tend to overestimate solar radiation. There are still bias when we use the downscale INTCAST product, the bias-corrected method product, but it's much less evident, and this is true across the whole 12 locations. So each couple of figures here is a location, and on these are the original INTCAST and the bias-corrected method. So the overall message of this picture is that, in general, the bias-corrected method still has bias in terms of solar radiation, but it's much reduced. This figure shows the frequency distribution of simulated yield for 30 years, averaged across the three models, for the 12 locations. So each of the vertical axis is a location, which the name is written on top of each graph. So this is Inverness, Aberdeen, and so on. Horizontally, it's the weather product used within the crop model. So observed weather, original INTCAST, downscaled INTCAST, original future, and downscaled future. So just a quick gist is, in general, the downscale INTCAST reduces the variability respect to its slightly reduced respect to the original INTCAST. It's interesting to note that in Milnefield, the simulated yield values are rather correct, but you can see there is not much variability. It's all concentrated around 7 to 8 tons, the yield. Whereas if you see the original INTCAST, it's skewed towards the left, basically, the probability. Interestingly, in the northern UK, this variability is quite reduced using the downscaled INTCAST, even compared to the observed weather data, whereas in the southern UK, you have a bit more variability. And it's interesting, in some locations, not only Smalling, but just to show you that also the original INTCAST can reproduce the yield spread and distribution. This result here shows instead a bit more disaggregation, so it shows the relative changes respect to the observed weather data of the different products, so again, original Intcast, downscaled, original future, and downscaled future, for the three different models. So the gray box is CropSys, UpSim is the white box, and the texture box is DSAT, for antithesis, maturity, simulated yield, and simulated cumulative evapotranspiration. So the first message we can see here is that using the original products from the RCM, we have quite a bit of variability the model simulates, and it's true for both yield and we can see also for cumulative evapotranspiration. But when we use the bias-corrected method, there is a bit more. This variability tends to reduce actually. If we look between the differences between the three models, generally UpSim tend to over-simulate respect to DSAT and CropSys. But in general, what comes out from this figure, I think, in terms of message is the fact that this variability is quite reduced when using the bias-corrected method. But so far, like in the first figure of the result I showed, and so up to now, I just showed aggregated results, even the frequency distribution. But we'll be interested to look at the daily variability, what happened daily when you use... So I extracted 1 year, here is 1973, from Milne Field, and we can see the first two figures, the bars show the rainfall of the original Intcast and downscale Intcast. So the original Intcast has 170 millimeters less rainfall than the downscale Intcast. In terms of solar radiation, there is a slightly difference. Temperature, there is no difference. That means that when the original Intcast data are used by these three models, the potential T between the three models, the difference is not much. There is difference between original Intcast and downscale Intcast product. In terms of actual evapotranspiration, there is a bit of divergent when we use the downscale Intcast, so the black lines you will see diverge a bit at the end of the growing season. Same for the plant transpiration. And the water stress index affecting growth, unfortunately, copying the figure from Sigma Plot, I missed the two lines here, but the same message as the evapotranspiration, there was not much differences. When it comes to use the original Intcast, we see that there is a big divergence between the three models for both actual evapotranspiration, plant transpiration, and water stress index. And what it stands out is that while CropSys and DSAT, yes, there is difference, but more or less they pick up the same pattern of changes, UpSim is rather different respect to the other two models. So in conclusion, what we can say from this study is that the input of climate data has consequences on crop models' output. This bias-corrected method increased the confidence of the output of the model. And so when this data will be used for climate change impact, it would be interesting if it's possible to disentangle the input error coming from the fact that we use this different climate product and the response to climate change. And from a crop modeling point of view, what I found, and I didn't report it here, but as an overall message, is that I'm using the original Intcast, because there was having less rainfall, for the same location, the less rainfall causes such high variability across the model. Temperature was not much different. So because we had only rainfall that differed, this caused big divergence, especially between the UpSim versus the other two. And finally, I want to acknowledge this project was done within the Mafache Maxur, and acknowledge the Scottish Government, the INRA, and the Met Office for providing quality check in the data. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Any questions for David?
Thank you very much. Very interesting and comprehensive overview. Thank you for asking. What I don't know was when you compare that one individual year, does it really make sense to pick out one single year and compare? Is that really the idea of the Intcast data to pick out a single year and then find out?
Not really, but in terms of crop modeling, the point is, so, you know, when you use the crop model, you run it over 30 years, then, of course, yeah, you see the average yield, so would it make sense it was this one mostly. But even in this one, if I take this Malne Field location, you see the frequency over the 30 years is still skewed, so you always simulate a lower yield. And so I wanted to understand why is that. So I looked at every year individually, and here I just extracted 1 year, but the gist is true across the whole 30 year in general, this product was always underestimating rainfall, and this was causing this divergence in terms of water stress index, transpiration, and therefore yield. And that's why for Magnifique, for this location, over the 30 year, all the yield was skewed towards the left. So that was, this was just an investigation to say, okay, why is happening? I go to delve into the detail to have a look at why, and this is the reason why. Yeah.
Any more questions? I have a question. Yeah. There was a lot of variability and bias with radiation,
yeah,
the solar radiation, but it went on both sides. Did that cancel out, or does that matter a lot? I mean, in this environment, radiation could play a big role in terms of yield.
Yes, it does play a big role. It sort of cancelled out a little bit. I should have looked into the biomass. I haven't done yet. That's part of a second step of this study, looking at this effect of solar radiation. It's true that it plays a big role. We are having a lot of trouble to use some of the solar radiation product because it simulates too low potential yield because the, yeah, it's not just, that it can have a big effect, solar radiation, yes.
Yes, you can
That has been looked in two papers. I only cited one here, the Rivington paper, but this has wrote a series of papers on this biocorrection method and all this detail you are just referring about. So what we did, we built on that one, and I said, okay, you did this biocorrection, now we see what happens if we feed this into the three-crop model. So he did mostly a meteorological study looking at all this. So I don't think it did it too much, that it didn't vary too much, but I don't have the detail with me here, so it's probably I can remind you to the papers.
Thanks, David. No problem.